Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This is G.R. Mobley, and this is Reclaiming the Republic, and this is where we're going to continue talking about the process or the academic argument for Republic Review. That's why this is the only show that will actually go through these types of details. I would challenge you to call any of your conservative entertainers, your favorite or, you know, the one that you listen to the most, because sometimes we can't listen to our favorite because he's on at a different time or she's on at a different time. But anyway, this is the only show that actually goes through the tangible solutions and getting the federal government. It's not about just electing the right guys. It's getting those guys and gals that are going into the state legislative office committed to protecting you from federal tyranny. And that's exactly where it has to happen. It has to happen in the states. And that's why we're going through this, because who has the ultimate say over the Constitution? It's not Congress. It's not the Supreme Court, nor is it the president. It is the state legislators. They're the ones that have the ultimate say. And actually, if you want to look at it, there are points and times when it actually comes down to we the people, because there have been times where we the people have sent delegates to a convention in ratifying the Constitution itself, as well as ratifying amendments. So anyway, let me kind of keep moving through. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, I've got a couple of interviews that we're going to be doing either this week or next week. I haven't heard back from the good doctor, but I'm hoping to get scheduled with him sometime this week. And let me also do that, because I've got a lot of stuff to go through. This will probably take me a week or so to get all the way through this. I'm not trying to discourage you from listening. These are the details about Republic Review. If you missed yesterday's show, then you want to go back and listen so that you can understand. So the shows you want to start downloading, if you want to, you know, go through the numbers of what Republic Review is, how it works, and so forth, you want to start with May 20th and on. Now, here's an interesting, or I should say an ironic coincidence. This week is the week that the framers came together in Philadelphia to convene a convention for the Constitution. This was 1787, and it was at Independence Hall. And so let's just keep diving forward. It's a good week to be doing this. Now, I always grovel a little bit. We can use your help. We can. If you want to lead, if you want to be one who is a champion for the change instead of a champion for just electing, or, you know, it's like throwing a round down range and just hoping you hit the target. Let's not do that anymore. Let's actually put, you know, very effective people into office, put people that are committed. And so if you want to start leading, because that's what we need, are leaders in the counties and in the states, so that we, because who knows, you might be that person. Are you looking to lead? Are you looking to become a state legislator? And are you looking to become like Jefferson and Madison? That's where they cut their teeth. They cut their teeth in the state level government. And I'm here to tell you that that is where the change is going to come, if it is going to come in time for us to save the Constitution. So send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And I would also say that you can get involved directly with your county and your state by going to theconstitutionclub.ning.com. Get involved with both. Send us an email if you want to lead, And we will put you in the queue with a lot of others and start. Who knows? There may be somebody already in your state you could be working with. Let's get involved. Let's not wait until the end of times when it's just absolutely too late. Well, what do we got to do? What do we got to do? We don't have that time. We have to start positioning ourselves. If you don't see the big object is falling from the sky, and if you're not in the position, if we don't have enough people, let's say manning that net to save that big object from falling, then that thing's going to go splat. And when it splats, that is pretty much it. It's gone. And what that means is that there's no way of getting our liberties that are guaranteed by our Constitution back. Because once that thing's gone, the people that are going to be taking over have zero tolerance. You should be very clear on what we are facing regarding this situation. So get involved. Now's the time to do it. Let this year, let today, let now be the time where you actually take a stand. info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I would also plug Our First Right. They're trying to pass an amendment that is very worthwhile in trying to gain representation. There's no way that, you know, that's the end solution, but it is one way of draining the swamp. Okay. So thank you for tuning in. Let me ask you this. If you've got Constitution Day plans, which is coming up September 17th, that's Constitution Day, Constitution Week, give us a call or actually just send me an email. Let me know and we'll plug it for you. And I also will tell you that we've got Red Pill Expo coming up June 7th, 8th, and 9th. And if you're not on G. Edward Griffin's mailing list for Need to Know News, you need to sign up, because that's where he's telling people, if you're on his emailing list, he's letting people know exactly what's happened. He sent out today a very interesting note that basically informed us that there was a communist professor who took the red pill and has seen the light and has walked away from the communist paradigm. And so and he talks about how it changed his life. And the professor is Michael Rechtin. And anyway, go ahead and sign up for the Need to Know News. Then when I start telling you about the stuff that J. Edward Griffin is pointing out that nobody else is pointing out, one, you won't be shocked. And two, you'll be going, yep, that's good to know information. So anyway, if you're in the Hartford area, June 7th, 8th, and 9th, you're going to want to be there. You're going to want to be there. Now, let me move forward with the diving into what many assert is the irrefutable argument. And these are the bullets that kind of walk you through exactly why Republic Review and how the validity of it and why we need to do this. So before we actually hit a hard break, I've got a few minutes. Let's go ahead and do this thing. And so with that, yesterday, I left off with the first action an actionable item, and that was to ensure that this audit has full force of the Republic. A simple majority must coalesce and work together. A simple majority of states must coalesce and work together, exercising their authority as the stakeholders of the compact. To, and I like this word, rebuke the general government to use the force of the Constitution to gain compliance with the Constitution by the general government. Now, it is preferred that all states participate in Republic Review. In other words, we would like to see all 50 states there. Now, we know that if we get any delegates from California and New York and some of these dark blue states, Hawaii, it's going to be frustrating because they don't understand the Constitution. They're going to come and they're going to try to invoke, or they're going to try to be supporting communism and democracy and bad government. But that's okay, because they are a member of the union and they should have their representation. But the problem is that they don't understand and recognize the constitutional process. You just can't elect people and all of a sudden they can do anything and everything. The Constitution is a limited document. That's why we've gone through this so many times, that it is defined in the Constitution the only things that the federal government can do. It's the same thing with your state. Your state can only do those things that are defined within that Constitution. So again, even though we would like to see every state come on board, all we need is a simple majority. And once we have a single state that actually calls for, and I'm betting on Wyoming to be that single state that calls for the audit, they will begin educating their fellow states on their duties and obligations. If you don't understand what those duties and obligations are, read Kentucky resolutions of 1798 and the Virginia resolutions of 1798. Republic Review will require the general government to provide the necessary legislation to disband and dissolve all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. That's big. If you understand what I just said, the output of Republic Review will be resolutions that will be sent to Congress in telling Congress that they need to disband this department, this executive department. It is unconstitutional, and you have this much time to disband it. In other words, 6 months. Let the states set the schedule. Don't let Congress set the schedule, because Congress will try to do something nefarious like they always do. And so the states are in control. They need to dictate. So when we come back, we're going to finish with this, and then we're going to get into the next level, which if you go on the webpage, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's red font, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
All right, so let me pick up where we left off, and forgive me if I have to take a drink to keep my whistle wet, because I'm going to be rattling off a lot of stuff here. And so anyway, moving forward, the states, to be clear, the states must use all constitutional powers and force as necessary. In other words, they need to do whatever it takes with, and they've got plenty of power and force within the Constitution to do this. And so they need to use that force to obtain compliance.
I'm here to tell you that there will be a lot of states that will have gone through the full process, because this first state's getting involved will probably go through a full election cycle. So there's a good likelihood that they will have been able to replace all of their congressmen who have been a part of the corruption and a part of the swamp dwellers. So those states will probably have congressmen and possibly even the senators that have gone through the election cycle since the state has been calling for Republic review. So they should be the ones that will be compliant. There is a good chance that there will be other states that have just called, you know, came on board with and have not gone through and purged the necessary bad players that they have in Congress. And so there's a good chance that the states may need to use the level of force of charging their congressmen with treason if they refuse to comply to the Constitution. I mean, literally, that's exactly what you're doing. If you are violating the Constitution directly and deliberately, and you're causing harm, you're putting the nation and the Constitution in jeopardy. Because every day they spend unconstitutional dollars, anybody will tell you that that's probably our biggest strategic threat. Yeah, there's the word. It is our biggest threat to our republic and to our well-being is the debt and the way they're spending money on unconstitutional things. Even military advisors say that our biggest threat is our spending and our out-of-control spending, I should say. So bear in mind, it is detrimental to a politician's career to fall or to fail to comply to their constituents, the states and the citizens of these states, and fulfill their sacred oath. So one would think that if they've gone through, or one would think that if they're looking over their shoulder and they happen to be a part of a creature in the swamp, they look over their shoulder, they see the state saying, You better do this. We want you to do this. It is in their best interest, unless they want to go down in the annals of history as one of those who've been recalled for treason and tried for treason back at the state, then they better just do what they need to do. Okay, so this next section, these next couple sections are the sections that are highlighted in red, because to me, these are the sections that dismiss and completely annihilate the argument coming from those who are making assertions that Republic Review is a portal or a back door to the Convention of States. And so let me start off with this process or methodology amongst the states asserting their powers is not, and this is all capital letters, is not applying to Congress in accordance with the Article 5 process of the Constitution to convene a convention to amend the Constitution. So what I just said is it's not an Article 5 application. This is not a process that is trying to amend the Constitution. Thus, the states are asserting their authority as the principal stakeholders over the Constitution. They're not trying to amend it. They are enforcing it. The next bullet, also read, if a state has an active application for an Article 5 convention, it must rescind or withdraw its application to ensure it is not sending mixed signals and clearly asserting its constitutional authority over the compact or the Constitution. States that have already coalesced should insist on any state that is joining to rescind or withdraw their Article 5 applications. And so here's the beautiful thing about this. The first state that kicks this off, they're the ones that actually have the muscle in being able to say, hey, you want to come on board with this? You need to rescind that active Article 5 petition. And I'll tell you, the Convention of State folks hate to see this, but I'm going, you know, you guys can always, the states can always go back down that path again if you think that Congress is not going to give you the amendment. But the amendment is not what is important at this point in time. Give that up. There is no such thing as a golden amendment that is going to get the federal government into compliance with the Constitution. They believe everything that they're doing is all within their rights and powers that they have assumed. They can't point to anything in the Constitution that has delegated all of these powers to them, but they believe they're in the right. So anyway, consequently, the coalesced republic, while conducting republic review, will not possess the constitutional powers to amend the Constitution in any way. This is simply exercising their authority individually and collectively to validate and demand compliance to their Constitution. Again, go read the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions of 1798 and 99, as well as the Federalist Papers and the ratification debates. Furthermore, this audit by the Republic Review process, or this audit by the Republic in the Republic Review process, does not require Congress to appoint a place or time to conduct the audit. This is an inherent right within contract law that the stakeholders possess. In other words, they already have all the authority necessary to call out, to audit, and then call out the federal government for its failures in not complying or its violations against the Constitution. This audit is what Madison and Jefferson attempted to accomplish, and you've heard me tell you this time and time again, in 1798 with those Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. Jefferson audited the Constitution in his 1798 resolutions, and he sent that off to the state legislatures, and with a little bit of correspondence back and forth, the state legislatures, or I should say both houses, unanimously passed that Kentucky resolution that then went out to the states. Madison audited the Constitution with the Virginia state legislatures, and he sent that off to them, and they passed that unanimously out of both houses in the end of December in 1798 as well. Republic review is what Madison and Jefferson attempted with the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions. These states called upon their fellow stakeholders to join them in rebuking the general government for violating the Constitution, their Constitution. Their fellow states failed to fulfill their obligation of oversight over their compact, which is why Madison and Jefferson were not successful in conducting republic review. What they ended up doing, their last resort, was what everybody understands as nullification. I'm telling you, Jefferson and Madison did not have the intent of going, well, any bad doings by the federal government, we'll just nullify. That is not their intent. That was not their intent. That was not their desire. Their desire was to keep the federal government in check and in within the boundaries of the Constitution. It was literally, nullification was literally the last resort and the only option that they had because they could not get the rest of the states. And technically, nullification is just an automatic thing. If you understand any law that is unconstitutional, any law that is a violation of the Constitution is not a law. Even though it may be on paper, and even though a guy comes along with a badge and says, you're under arrest for doing this, what he is doing is he's violating and enforcing an illegal law. And he will have to be responsible for why did he do that. It's the same thing with, and even though there's these, if you look at the Holocaust, if you look at the guards that were enforcing laws that were against humanity, I mean, we hold those German guards, you know, when we took them through trials and so forth, we clearly held them to the accountability that they were committing a crime, even though the government was telling them that this is what they had to do. It was a crime against humanity. In other words, we have this underlying principle in society that states, you, even though you may have the force of the law, you do not have the force of the law to commit a crime against humanity. And more importantly, you definitely do not have the authority to commit a crime against the Constitution. So when we come back, we're going to get into the next steps for the argument. And so we're almost, let me see, how much further do we have? We're almost done. We're wrapping it up. We'll be wrapped up in the next segment and going into the process after that. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so what ended up happening, and this is literally the next line, their fellow states failed to fulfill their obligation of oversight over their compact. And this is literally why Madison and Jefferson were unable to get the federal government into compliance. And I know I'm kind of reviewing this again, but if you read the 1799 resolution of Virginia, or actually it's not Virginia, it's Kentucky, and Madison wrote his response on notes on the Virginia resolutions, and that was an 1800 document. If you read those, you'll clearly see how, one, they were lamenting. So what I want to do is I want to take a little quick twist, because so many people believe that that what those two resolutions that were written by Virginia and Kentucky in 1798 were the roadmap of nullification and nullification alone. If that was the case, then why is it that Kentucky lamented in the fact that the other states didn't join? Why is it that in the 1800 notes on the resolutions by Madison, He defended what he did. He still believed that the states should have stepped up and done their job. In other words, if you understand nullification, nullification is just a state that says that's an illegal law. We're not going to enforce it. You're done. If their intent was to nullify the unconstitutional laws of the Sedition Acts, the Aliens and Sedition Acts, I believe is what they call them. And so if that was their intent, then why did they lament? Why did they even have to write the 1799 resolutions as well as Madison writing the notes on the Virginia resolutions in 1800? It is because they had no intent to simply nullify. They had every intent in getting the states to coalesce, pull their power together, and exercise that power in enforcing and dealing with the breaches of their constitution by the general government, in getting them to comply. And as I've said before, the only thing that came out of that really wasn't necessarily the last resort, was the only thing that was the obvious thing by anybody that understands the obligation in complying. The state at least says, well, we're going to comply with the Constitution and not enforce unconstitutional laws. As I tell people, when you read the Federalist Papers, when you read the ratification debates, the word null was a very common word, and it was common knowledge that illegal laws or laws that violated the Constitution or the laws of the land were illegal. They had no force, and so they were not obligated to comply with them, if that makes sense. So anyway, let me move on. In harmony with Madison and Jefferson's actions, the audit only requires one state to initiate. And I've said this before. You only need one state to start the audit. As you start looking at the overall picture, at the bigger picture, you will find that when one state actually does all of the work in the audit process, it only requires the other states to come on board and say, you know what, we completely concur with all your findings. Now, I highly recommend that every state cross the T's and dot the I's, because, you know, states can make mistakes. People make mistakes. There's a good likelihood that they may be missing something. So I would recommend that every state come on board and, for their own veracity, checking exactly what all the violations are. Now, some of these things are things within the states, because if you understand, and we'll get into the audit, into the process, that as the states are looking at the powers being exercised as well as the amendments, they need to verify and validate the validity of some of the amendments. Did the state actually ratify that amendment according to the process and the laws of the land? And I say this because there has been evidence that has been brought forward that the 16th and 17th Amendments were not properly ratified. If that is the case, then those amendments can be completely undone. Even though you've heard me talk about the rescinding of the 17th Amendment, this is very clear that the states have the responsibility and the obligation of verifying that every amendment that has been passed has been duly passed by the laws of the land. Okay? So anyway, the next actionable item is that the Republic review process will identify all infractions and the compacts and provide two directions to Congress by dismantling directive resolutions. That is one of the processes. And the next process, I'll get into that after I go through the description of this, but the next process is promulgating resolutions that acknowledge that these are violations. But anyway, let me get into the dismantling directive resolutions. When 13 or more states do not want the general government to continue exercising a role, responsibility, and power that are violations of the Constitution, the list of these roles, responsibilities, and powers will be sent to Congress in directive resolutions for Congress to dismantle or schedule the decommissioning of these RRPs, roles, responsibilities, and powers. a role, responsibility, and power that 38 states or more expressed the desire for the general government to maintain, then the unconstitutional RRP, through a directive resolution, will be submitted to Congress, who will then initiate the constitutional amendment process to amend the Constitution to allow the states to delegate this authority to the general government. So in other words, let's say there is a role, responsibility, and power that the federal government is exercising, that we say, you know what, we think you should be doing this, then those states, and you got to understand, it will require 38 states or all of the states involved. Let me take a deep breath here. All of the states that will be involved in Republic Review are those that are trying to get the federal government out of doing the things it shouldn't be doing. So there's a good likelihood that none of these states will think that anything the federal government is doing is worth them doing, that those powers should be returned to the states. So there's not a likelihood, and as a matter of fact, I think there's a high likelihood that none of these RRPs will be recommended as an amendment. The bar in an amendment recommendation to going to Congress, this resolution that is basically telling, it's a directive resolution to call for Congress to create a constitutional amendment, is very unlikely. You have to have 38 states on board, or you cannot have 13 states standing up against it. So with that, I hope you get that. These are the two products that will be coming out of Republic Review. The next action then is by Congress, and Congress will promulgate resolutions that acknowledge that what they have done is wrong, what they have done is unconstitutional, and then they will dismantle. And the details of this is that the requirement for the general government and all public servants must always comply to the Constitution. In accordance with the guidance from the directive resolutions, Congress will propagate to the affected entities a schedule for the completion of dissolving each specific role, responsibility, and power. Let me take a quick break here and just kind of explain this to you, that what we're talking about is unemploying a lot of people, which means that if you were in a position and you were going to be affected, wouldn't it be nice that you had plenty of advance warning so that you would be given, you know, 4, 5, 6 months to figure out what you're going to do now that your job's gone away? There's going to be a lot of people that will be affected by this, because there's a lot of people doing things that the federal government shouldn't be doing. Now, there's a good opportunity and a likelihood that these people can get employed at the state levels, because what they're doing, those jobs won't go away. Those jobs will be shifted to the states. So it is the most humane thing that I can think of, is to just say, you just don't turn the lights off and kick everybody out. That's what would probably create a lot of people going, the old term is postal, a lot of people going into their places of business and work and shooting people and saying, how can you do this? And anyway, the whole point is that we don't want to necessarily have such an adverse impact and effect that we have millions of people all unemployed on the same day. Let people know, and we want to transition these things down. And as a matter of fact, some of these things may require a transition. In accordance with the guidance from the directive resolutions, Congress will propagate to all of the entities, like I said, the completion or a schedule for completion of the dissolving. And in accordance to the guidance of the directive resolutions, Congress will propagate to the affected entities a schedule of completion for the decommissioning. So they're going to have to basically talk about one of two things, that this is something that we can actually stand down, or this is something that is going to require transitioning. We'll get into, and even though those two things that I just said sound identical, there are two differences, or there's two different actions here. One is, let's say the Department of Education, we don't need it, we don't want anything from it. It will be scheduled to be shut down. the other entity, let's say the Department of Energy, has a lot of technical data and stuff that the states need. That has to be transitioned from the federal government to the states. So they're going to have like a transition schedule and all of that so that the states can gain and obtain all the information they need. I'm out of time, so we'll pick this up when we come right back after our break. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. All right, so we've got one last bullet to go through, and this is an action item. In accordance to the guidance from the directive resolutions, Congress will promulgate amendments to obtain the proper delegation of authority from the states to exercise whatever role, responsibility, and power in accordance to the Constitution. Here's the bottom line. If the federal government is going to do something, if they're going to exercise a power, role, or responsibility, they have to be delegated that power via the Article 5 process. They cannot just assume this process. Now, what I want to do, because some of these things don't just jump out, this is literally just the argument for Republic Review. So let me, and I know I'm going to get into this, too many people are focused on, well, it's just an audit. This is just an audit. No, this is not just an audit, because an audit just identifies what are the violations against the contract. There is going to be a body of delegates, or I call them delegates in my first book, but actually these are state legislators that are going to be appointed, they're going to be delegated to a committee to work together to do the research necessary for every single role, responsibility, and power to determine, one, is this something that the states need to do because the federal government is no longer going to be doing this? Two, is this something that the states are already doing? And a great case in point is healthcare, and or because many states already have their own healthcare programs long before the federal government wanted to centralize it. A great example is Washington State. They have a socialized medicine. I think Massachusetts, there have been a few states that have socialized their medicine before the federal government came along and said, we're mandating socialized medicine. I'll give you another example, welfare. Every single state has a welfare process, just like an unemployment process, just like all these other handouts and entitlements. So the question is, when they come up to the Health and Human Services, which is welfare, then the states will say, well, we're already doing this. So the analysis will be, we don't need anything from that. That's a department that can just go away, which means that they would send a directive resolution to Congress, telling Congress to go ahead and schedule a dismantling of Health and Human Services. What would happen then is Congress would then create a resolution acknowledging the fact that they had no authority in 1953 to create the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and that, you know, the continuance of this department is unconstitutional and is spending unauthorized money that the states have not delegated that power, therefore they're going to shut it down. And in that resolution to Congress, the states need to dictate what that schedule is. In other words, within 1 year time, we want the doors and lights of this department to be shut down, begin the commencement of the shutting down and the laying off of people to be 6 months. That is my base recommendation. I believe that everybody should be given in this process a good 6 months. You got to understand, there are people here that are going to be really pissed off because they've been violating the law for hundreds of years, saying that we can do these things when they can't. What does this mean? This means that there are people that have been banking on their retirement fund and going, you know what? You have no entitlement to any of those things because they've all been done duplicitly. They've all been done in a violation of the law of the land. You have no entitlement to one, your job, your retirement, or any of the benefits, you know, post your working. If this isn't sending a big red flag, we have to be very sympathetic. If that was you and you were in that situation, believing that everything you were doing was all on the up and up and legitimate. Excuse me. Let me be clear. There are a lot of people that are doing things that they believe are legitimate. Then there are those people that are like working in the State Department, that were working for Hillary, or that are a part of the deep state collusion, that they know they're doing evil things and they shouldn't be doing it. If you want to understand how to drain the swamp, Republic Review is the only process. It is the only process that will shut down all of the things that they shouldn't have been doing in the first place. So here's the thing. We've got to look at this, and so we've got to look at this. These are human beings. These are men and women that are having to put bread and food on the table for their children. They have a family just like you and I. We need to be very empathetic. We need to be very understanding, because you wouldn't like it if you were put in a very similar situation where your job was all of a sudden going to be dissolved. Your retirement, those people that are collecting retirement, it is my recommendation that we actualize I don't want to say monetize, but what we need to do is we need to actualize the cost of what it's going to pay, just like Social Security. Social Security is going to have to go away, but we'll have to actualize what the cost is based on the plan and sunset it. So in other words, America has probably a full generation of obligations that we're going to have to continue to take money to pay for these things. Now, this is my perspective. In the court of law, as Bob Schultz points out, if something is done erroneously and is a violation of the law, then no party is entitled to whatever the said benefits or whatever the said payments or what have you. I don't believe America should turn its back on the infirm, the aged, because Social Security, we're not talking about kids that, you know, have an opportunity to go do a whole new career and to plan for themselves a retirement. What we need to do, and as a matter of fact, that's the same thing with congressional retirement. Show me in the Constitution where public services, where public servants were given the ability for retirement. The only, I believe, and we can talk about this, I believe the only legitimate retirement are those that are serving in the military. Because we went to a voluntary force, and because we had, or even in the labor contracts, in those labor contracts of a legitimate constitutional role, they decided to make a compensation, not just in pay, but in retirement as well. That was a legitimate position. And so when you're making a legit, so congressmen do not have anywhere within their, anywhere within the Constitution, a retirement. In other words, they're getting paid. As a matter of fact, what did Madison make when he walked away from Congress? He didn't make anything. He didn't make a penny. When Adams retired and Jefferson retired, and they lived 25, well, at least Adams lived 25 years past his retirement, and Jefferson lived, you know, what was minus eight, because I believe they both went to 1826, July 4th, when they passed away, right? It was the 50th anniversary, something like that. And they both passed away on the same day. I mean, that doesn't happen very often either. But the point is that public service was not to be a golden parachute and a portal to an elite status in life. It's public service. And so if Congress wants to give themselves retirement, to give themselves all of these perks and benefits, they need to amend the Constitution in doing that, because it was considered a position of nobility. Where do they get off creating all of these opportunities for themselves? I mean, it's like you deciding for yourself to be able to go and give yourself all sorts of grants and benefits and money and so forth. The problem is you don't have control of the public purse. They do. And so there's no ethical way they can just grant themselves this. This is something that had to have been done. And as a matter of fact, I believe the initial concept was that pay was supposed to be set by the states. The states were supposed to be paying for this public service, but I think they started realizing that, so that's not going to work. We're going to have the federal government to do that. And the real point is that we cannot have people that are in all of these positions that think that they have a legitimate shot and, you know, opportunity of retirement. They've got a real awakening unless we do what I believe is the right thing to do. I believe that we owe it to those people who thought they were doing something legitimate, the opportunity in living a life of, you know, decency and having dignity for what they have done. These people should not be put into shame, because the people that should be put into shame, we should probably dig up like John Marshall and FDR and burn them in effigy. Just like what they used to do in France. If you committed heresy, they would dig you up. If they found out that you committed heresy within 6 years of your death, they would dig you up and they would burn you at the stake. Maybe that's what we should do to the people that actually did all of these bad deeds, but these other people are victims. And so we need to look at it moving forward with that kind of light. Tomorrow, we're going to go through the model for Republic Review. And so please stay tuned, and we'll be diving into that tomorrow. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show
in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.